Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are very welcome to another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow and Sideshow.com. Now, before you get into this show, this episode, if you haven't heard it, there is a part one, which is last week's. I will allow you on this occasion, that sounds a little bit, okay, but bear with me. Press the stop button, go back, listen to last week's episode, and then come and play this one. All right? Okay. Have you done that? Right. Okay. You are very welcome to part two of the Sideshow. This interview is with Annie Delbridge, head gardener at Fuller's Mill Garden. Anything you need at all at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow and Sideshow.com. Welcome her back, Annie Delbridge. Your career path, Annie, did you always want to be a head gardener? Did you wake up one morning, as sure as I did, and say, I want to grow plants under my bed when I was 5 years of age? And then from there, I logically evolved into college. Were you one of them? Was your grandmother big time into this kind of thing? Was it your mom, maybe an influence?
Both my grandfathers had really lovely gardens, and they were really interested in their gardens as I grew up. Family, we had a nice garden and vegetable garden and everything, but I was brought up on a farm, so it was agriculture, big machinery and things. And then I left school, and within a week I was working in a garden, so I think I was destined to go in that follow that path, really.
What was the first garden that you worked in, Annie?
That was Christ College at Cambridge.
And what were you doing there?
I was an under gardener, and I was sent off to the local college to do day release, and everything was nicely labelled, which was great for learning plants. And it was a brilliant start. Everything had to be perfect, and luckily that stuck with me.
You mentioned there, Annie, you mentioned under gardener. Explain to me, it's a term I haven't heard in a long, long, long time.
Must be showing my age here. It's just, you know, it's not second gardener, it's not head gardener, it's just the lower level, really. It's the coming in level, starting off in the being with the qualifications and all the work really that goes with it.
Is it the equivalent of the old, if you don't mind me using that word, but an old days style apprenticeship where you did a little bit of education through the college, but you also worked with your hands at the same time for the greater part?
Yeah, definitely. It was that way around. So 4 days of the week I was in the garden, everything from propagating to pruning. I don't think it was many things we didn't do, really. Staking all the perennials, cutting things down. And then one day a week, it'd be the formal bit at the college, sit at the desks, learn things, get tested. And it worked nicely.
Wow. And so when you came out through that, did you obviously had the full deal qualification then?
Yeah, I had all the, I think it was RHS level 2 and the City and Guilds qualifications for amenity horticulture. And then finally left there and went to a private garden on an estate for 6 or 7 years after that.
But at the time, Annie, and let me put this to you, because when I grew up and I was maybe 10 years of age, which for those of you who are mathematicians will know that that's 30 years ago approximately to the day. But, you know, horticulture 30 years ago was not a career path that anybody really chose. It was, and I don't mean to be disrespectful in this, but I've said this before, the gentlemen on television always had a beard. You could not be on television without a beard and some compost in said beard, and probably a pencil and a saw sharpener or something else in there as well, and some geranium cuttings. It was kind of that, and the gardening as a career, and we've discussed this again with former guest of the show, Mark Diacono, it wasn't something that you really went into or people tended to go to. Did you find that at the time? And again, if you don't mind me suggesting, maybe a little bit more so because you were a lady.
Oh, yes, it wasn't a girl job at all. Girls didn't do that sort of thing at all. Back in that day, girls looked after children and worked in shops and were secretaries and things, nice girl, sort of pretty jobs. So I wanted to go and get mucky and really get into everything. So, yeah, the careers office did look at me quite strangely. They didn't quite understand what I wanted to do. But living not far out of Cambridge, it all worked quite nicely by just basically going around all the colleges and saying, have you got a job? And but it was about the third or fourth one, they did.
But let me stick with the lady, that era, an era where people didn't really go into horticulture, number one, ladies who didn't really go into horticulture, number two, and you who obviously did. Did mom and dad, did the neighbours kind of turn around and go, oh my God, what's wrong with Annie? Is she okay? She seems to be playing with the plants again. She's doing what? As a, oh my God, that's, you couldn't do that. Did you get that?
Parents had had me for quite a few years. They knew that I was going to do something sort of tomboyish in that day and age. They knew I was going to do something a little bit different to all the other girls, I think. As for my friends at school, all those were going to college and getting off the bus with their nails done and looking immaculate, and I was in my scruffy work stuff. So they would pass the time of day, but they looked at me like, oh, look at the state of her. It was all right. It was good.
We're for those of you listening, and I know you know the Sideshow genuinely, and I, there's not a bad bone in this body, and I genuinely ask these questions out of intrigue. I have a modern day Annie Delbridge in mind, and that is our very own great friend of the show, I should say, Fiona Kelly, who would also refer to herself as a little bit of a tomboy, and her story probably is a very much modern day of yours, a lady. I should add, I'll double underline that word, a lady who went to go clothes shopping one day and ended up in an allotment and has never looked back since. In fact, it's turned into a little bit of something greater, a lot greater, I should add, than a hobby. It's a quite an inspirational story, Annie, in a sense that you have without, I guess, even realising, and bear in mind, we have never spoke before.
Yes, I suppose it is, really. I hadn't really looked at it the way you are, but... Yeah, to do something slightly different and then get to the top of your game isn't a bad thing, is it really?
No.
There's a lot more ladies follow this path nowadays, definitely. But I think the world has changed. Male and female roles merge now. They are just roles, which is quite nice.
Well, things, to be fair, and you are bang on cue there, things have changed, and they have changed a lot. I mean, you and I would have seen, as I would refer to it, the log roll pandemic passed through the 80s, and then we went into the cobblock epidemic, and through that we had the Alison and Lobelia, also another pandemic that happened in my dad's front garden, and cherry trees were the street planting tree of choice. We since have had the grow-your-own epidemic, And that craze kind of come, and I won't say passed out the far side, but it did do something that changed things. There are gentlemen and grown men and parents, and it's in schools. And again, you mentioned the RHS, the role that they have played, but it's a lot greater than that. Have you seen things come and go that you're kind of glad to see, and that you're also glad to maybe not see so much of anymore, Annie?
I think the whole cycle of, as I sort of going back to my grandparents' era, then you grew your vegetables, you had your garden. Then that all seemed to fall by the wayside for a little while, and people went to supermarkets to buy their food. And then I think it's the TV programs have changed with all the cookery programs and the horticultural programs. People have got a lot more interested in growing their own food and things again. I think we've turned right round, and it's becoming the thing to do again, which I think is fabulous.
For gardens, Annie, for the greater gardens, I was amazed we had Matthew Potash on the show. I am indeed, people, you're absolutely right. I'm mentioning a lot of previous guests, but it's only by way of conversation. But Matthew Potash was on, and I had been out at RHS Garden Wisley, a fine place, I should add, a very fine place. And I was blown away, but as I noted to Matthew, the amount of young people, and I say young, I mean younger than 10 years of age, parents, young parents, very young parents, and equally the elder statesmen and ladies of this world who are passing in and out through the gates. Are you finding at Fuller's Mill Garden that that's happening with you as well?
I think the visitors to the garden tend to be slightly more mature, and possibly the majority are retired, but you do see a greater number of younger people, often twos and threes coming in that are at college locally or have just come because they're on holiday and they just fancy coming to have a look. So I think slowly but surely the tide's turning, and the younger generation, thankfully, are getting interested. Because otherwise, who's going to take over when we all retire?
Don't know, Annie. I'm hesitant to refer to my own age again, being that I'm as good-looking as Michael Perry. Shall we leave it at that level just for the minute? Let's go a side stage further. Where is Fuller's Mill Garden exactly?
It's a little village called Westow, which is better known for its Anglo-Saxon village, without the Anglo-Saxons presently, I believe. But it's just outside Bury St Edmunds in Suffolk.
So if I was to get a plane, not a private plane, but if I was to get an aeroplane nonetheless, to Fuller's Mill, where would be the nearest airport for those who are unaware?
It would be London Stansted.
And from there then, curiosity, Annie, do you know off the top of your head how I would best get to Fuller's Mill?
You could either get a train to Bury St Edmunds or a coach, which I believe come to the town. And then you could have either a very long walk, which isn't impossible, or a bus that comes within 20 minutes of here, or just a taxi, which I think is about a 10-minute ride from the town.
Okay, so we're it's pretty reachable within, you know, if I left at 10 o'clock this morning, I'd be there by, let's say, 2 or 3.
Easily, I'd have said.
Oh, wow, okay. And is there a curiosity kill a cat while we're playing tourism bingo with you here? But is there a hotel nearby? Is there a place to stay?
Yes, we've got lots. There's bed and breakfasts actually in the village. There's small hotels locally, your average sort of roadside motels as well. But also Bury St Edmunds is a really big tourist town anyway. And so there's lots of hotels, motels and etc. in the town as well. There's plenty of places to stay around here. I'd say it's also a sort of place that you could do for a nice long weekend, as it's a historic area and there's plenty of other things to do here.
Well, this is the route I was taken in on this, Annie, because I kind of tend to assume that nobody has ever heard of, not so much you before or perennial before, but one has to assume that people have never been there before, and then we can kind of, then they may turn around and they may pick up on that little trinket with, oh, that'd actually be a good idea, let's go there for a weekend. So if people wanted to go to Fuller's Mill, do you have your own website?
We have, yes. And I guess you want to know what it is as well.
I do. You better remember this.
I know. This is a bit scary me. It's www.fullersmillgarden, all lowercase, all one word, .org.uk. And we can also be found off the perennial website as well.
Okay, so just to clarify, that's Fuller's plural, F-U-L-L-E-R-S, Fuller's Mill.
Yes, that's right.
And if I go there, Annie, let's say, I don't know, I'm planning a romantic weekend away with some lady who might want to, in my imaginary brain, come on a romantic weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, well, let's just run with me here.
We're sticking with it, yes, go ahead. Yeah,
well, she's invisible for the minute because she just looks at me and says, oh my God, Peter, your passion for horticulture, all I want to do is sit and watch you looking at plants and more trees, and maybe we should go to Fuller's Mills garden for a weekend where you can go to a horticultural talk and I will just watch you watching the talk happen because I won't have an idea what's going on. Let's assume that that is the case and I book in and I have my flight booked. I know my airport now. I know how to get there and I get there. How much are talks? Can I go for a wander around? How much does all that cost?
Every day entrance to the garden is £4, which is an absolute bargain. So £4 gets you into the garden for an afternoon and you can wander at will and any questions you have, just ask me or any member of staff and hopefully we might know the plant name or the history of things.
Just to clarify, this is a 7-acre maintained exquisitely garden with buildings. It's £4 in the... Annie, you wouldn't get into a cinema for that for 3 hours.
Exactly. It's an absolute bargain.
And curiosity kill a cat, how many staff are working there, Annie, full-time?
Okay, there's 3 of us full-time, 2 part-time, but I also have a very large number of volunteers. And on a Tuesday, there can be up to 17, 18 of us here in the morning, which is quite a lot of people. But without them, the place wouldn't be half as brilliant, so they're absolutely invaluable to us.
Say that to me again. You have 17, let's say you go into work tomorrow morning, you could possibly find, or you will possibly find, I gather there's some kind of roster at this stage of the game, but 18 volunteer gardeners.
Yeah, I do know who's coming, which is a good thing. But yes, we have up to 18 at one time doing the garden.
Wow.
Which is rather fabulous, isn't it?
That is more amazing than the bargain price of €4 in the door. Let's sidetrack onto this now, because we are now part of a double episode of the Sod Show. You're on par with my good friend Paul Martin, who won gold at on Main Avenue Chelsea in 2016. I'm living near enough, or not near enough, and I decide to book into a hotel because I want to volunteer for a weekend, or I used to be, and I'm now retired, even though I'm extremely good looking. It'll run with me here because I've also got an imaginary lady who likes to go on gardening tour weekends with me. But I decide that I want to volunteer at Fuller's Mill Garden. How do I do that? And number two part of that, Annie, if you don't mind me asking, not to be ignorant in any way, or not to have the question sound that, but why do these people volunteer? Why do they volunteer to work?
Part one of the question, how you get your volunteers, you get in touch with us, email, phone us, have a informal chat. Sometimes it's people who have visited the garden, ask if they can be more involved, or friends of people who are already here. And off the back of that, why do they? Some people are on their own, they're looking for a friendship. Other people would like to work in a garden, but they live in a little townhouse, they haven't got much. Other people have visited the garden, think it's absolutely fabulous, and they'd like to be part of it. And then once they come, they met sort of friends. There's great sort of friendship groups. There's lots of laughter, and they seem to enjoy it. And once they start, it's very rare that anyone ever stops. So we must be doing something right.
This is going to sound a little bit funny, Annie, and I apologise for this analogy in a sense, but when I look at the old school black and white footage of Woodstock and Joe Cocker is playing and Jimi Hendrix is playing, I kind of see it in my mind as almost like a childlike fable, of which the people who went there never wanted to leave, because it's not so much the place. The place would have been a muddy field, or it would have been something else. But essentially it was an emotion, it was a feeling, it was the people who were essentially around you. And places, the worst holidays that I won't say the worst holidays in the bad sense, but the places with the least amount of facilities were often the best holidays that I ever had, because of the people who I met whilst I was there, if that makes sense to you. So to pay Fuller's Mill and you as the head gardener a massive compliment, for people to come in and as you rightly described it, really never to leave, it's quite a huge compliment to you.
It is, isn't it? I don't know what it is we get right, but something. I think it's because we're friendly, we're open. Everyone swaps around with what they're doing. They work with different people. Everyone's definitely valued. And we try to make it fun. If you're doing some really boring job, put 3-4 people on who you know are going to chatter, because the day goes quicker if you've got somebody to laugh and to have a good time with. Because everyone that's volunteer comes because they choose to, not because they need the money, not because they're paid to, but they want to be here. So we just make it so there's a reason to want to be here, really.
And if the volunteers, if you are listening to this, and I hope that you are, I'm standing here in the back of my own garden, in the building, myself and the dog and my now cold cup of coffee, and I am standing and applauding you. Congratulations and well done. But again, Annie, if you know, I've got head gardeners literally all across the world who are listening to this, and they're saying, you know, yet we've had the guys come in and they've volunteered, and the problem with the volunteers, and some of them will tell me this, is that, you know, you can't tell them what to do, because they might turn around and, if you don't mind me saying, you know, tell you to use the fathered head a word, but you know, would you mind, you know, feck off kind of thing, and do it yourself. I don't fancy doing that. And so what they sometimes tell me is that you have to be the boss, but at the same token, if you're a bit too much the boss, your man might walk away and then you don't get anything done. There is a very fine balance to strike between, you obviously have a set agenda, the grounds need to look perfect, you need people on the same wavelength, and you know, although some, if you don't mind me saying this, although some volunteers do mean very, very well, if you're a really bad gardener, then you kind of have to get them to do the other job. If you know, you can't get them to do that job, or you know, if you've got big potato size hands like I would have, and you're not as delicate maybe at pruning roses, to use a bad example, you know, you kind of have to fit the right people to the right. You've got a really delicate position to hold there.
Oh, you have, definitely. You quickly learn people's strengths. You learn what things they really aren't enjoying, which is why sometimes you put a bigger group on things that aren't so much fun. Also, picking you up on something, you don't tell them what to do, you ask them. And I think that's part of it. Although they do say, when I say, would you mind doing this? They say, one day somebody will turn around and say, no, I don't want to, but we haven't had it yet. So that works well. And so it's okay. But there are some jobs, obviously, that sometimes the trained staff will do some of the more delicate pruning. But also I know some people come from a horticultural background and are retired, and they're perfectly able to do sort of the pruning of things. And somehow we've managed to explain to them what I foresee, and we all get what we mean. And if you get a new volunteer, you put them with people that have been here for a while, and it works somehow. They all get on, they teach each other the way we like things done here, and we're not quite a big happy family, that would be, although we do sort of say about it sometimes, but we do all work really well together, and I don't think anyone doesn't get on with somebody else. Everyone just gets on fine with everyone.
Let me go to this point if I can, Annie, because, you know, and bearing in mind the volunteers are listening, but is there a tea break that you all meet for in the morning time or as part of the morning?
Oh, gosh, yes, 10 o'clock in the bothy. Tea break, biscuits. If somebody's been on holiday, there's usually cake brought in. So then it's noisy, it's fun, there's laughter, and that's probably part of the reason people come. You've got the tea break, you've got the chatter, you've got the catching up with people, you've got the plans for who's having coffee with who during the week, who's going to watch some band with somebody else, and who's doing what, and they tell about the grandchildren and all sorts. It's a big happy time, and yep, so maybe tea break is why they all come.
Is there one of the group, Annie, who you would not, and I will put my hand up and say I am a terrible tea maker, but I am a really good, fine coffee maker. Two Spots, good friends of the show, will vouch for that one. Are there people who volunteer, who are part of that group, Annie, who you would not allow to make the tea because it is that not so drinkable, shall I call it that politely?
That would be me. My tea is absolutely dire. You can ask any of them. Ditch water, it has been called. I'm afraid it's not good. I can do coffee, but my tea is not good. So, yeah, it's me that have always, not because I'm the boss, but because it's just dreadful.
I don't know what it is. We had the lads from Santry Community Gardens on, and God, let me see. I think they were telling me that when it comes to harvest time in the community garden, apparently numbers tend to increase slightly, but also at tea time, they all tend to roll in somewhere around about that. Annie, what's the on the highlight calendar for 2017 at Fuller's Mill?
At the moment, I've been ordering some new lily bulbs to go in the garden. We've got an awful lot of lilies here anyway, but we go round and mark gaps and then buy ones and put in, so there'll be some new ones to see. We'll be refreshing some of the beds, so we'll be collecting new plants to put in. And really, everything's a highlight. If you've never been before, it is a spectacular garden with a river, a mill pond, a stream, although we're not a water garden, which is different. And just unusual plants, and obviously a friendly atmosphere. So there's every reason to come and see us.
You, I gather, work with Heather Medcraft, Annie.
Yes, I do.
What's Heather's role there, can I ask you?
She's second gardener.
Oh, wow, okay. So Heather was the one who was in touch with me, and she kind of said that you're the one who should do the interview. Why is that?
Oh, because she's not as brave on the phone as I am, I think. So she's perfectly able, as I constantly tell her. But so she said that, yeah, being in charge of responsibility is mine, which is absolutely fine. We get on famously anyway.
Is that the modern day equivalent of stitching your mate up for karaoke, Annie?
Totally. I could see them doing that to me, actually.
And whilst I have you on the phone and we're talking about Heather, what if you were to stitch her up for karaoke, what song would she sing, Annie, while we're on the subject?
Oh, that's a really tricky one. Oh, I don't know. Probably something from the Spice Girls would be quite nice, actually. And we'd have to obviously dress her accordingly. And she's going to kill me.
I was hoping you'd say that. Annie, if people want to get in touch, you are you on the Twitter thing? Are you online? Or is Fuller's Mill on the Facebook?
Yeah, Fuller's Mill is on Twitter. We've also got a Facebook account. And obviously the good old coming via the web, our own website. You can get us on emails via that as well. Oh, and the phone. I forgot. Phone's quite good too.
The phone as well. That's how we're talking right now. It's a very good way to talk to people. Let me see. For those who are listening to this in the future or at this present time of day of release, if you are stuck for any of the information at all, at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow and sideshow.com, search for Fuller's, F-U-L-L-E-R-S. It's Fuller's Mill. It's the only interview that we have done, although this is a part two, and either or which you tend to happen upon, you will find all of the contact details for Annie and Heather and all of the wonderful team of volunteers at Fuller's Mill. If you are wise and you are heading there, then what you can do is drop in at about 10:30 in the morning time when tea is taking place, tea and coffee break, that is. You can bring your own personal karaoke machine that your 14-year-old daughter doesn't use anymore, and you can bring it in, and Heather Medcraft will give you a personal rendition of some of the Spice Girls' top three hits. Three only, I'm told, because that's all she knows all of the words for, according to Annie, who is head gardener. I'm joking, I dropped that in for the crack. Annie, is that okay for me to say that about Heather?
Yeah, I think I can run and get away from her. It should be fine.
I hope we have not embarrassed her entirely. Annie Delbridge, head gardener at Fuller's Mill Garden. It has been an absolute joy and a real genuine pleasure. For people who want to get in touch, as I said, it is at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow. Head to sideshow.com where you can find this and the previous episode with Annie. Annie is the head gardener there, and you will find also the details, the links and all of the contact details on how to get there, get to Fuller's Mill Garden. They have a wonderful calendar of events lined up for 2017, and if you're listening to this in 2017 and it's towards the tail end, they have a fantastic calendar of events already lined up for 2018. If you're listening to this in 2018, I'm joking, we'll get to I'm getting good at this, Annie. Let me see. In the meantime, Annie Delbridge, thank you so much for your time. It really has been a wonderful joy and a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, it's been lovely.
That is it for this episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast. What can I say? Isn't that just an amazing, beautiful, awe-inspiring story? You know, there's times in your life when I guess I turn around and say, well, why do I do this Sideshow thing, which essentially is my spare time, unfunded, without sponsor, without anything at all, in brackets, monetary reason to do so? And then you talk to somebody like Annie, a place that I guess I haven't seen so many times in the headlines of the great garden publications, if you'll allow me put it that way. And you get that story, that insight, that behind the scenes, the volunteers, the garden, how the estate came into the hands of Perennial. And you can only but say why at every juncture, at every cross, at every turning. But every single answer makes you smile. And isn't that kind of beautiful? Isn't it? In the meantime, what can I say? Thank you so much for listening. At Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow. My thanks, my sincere thanks to Annie, to Heather, to the entire team at Fuller's Mill Garden. Anything you need, what can I say? Just hit us up. We'll put you directly in touch with them. Hope to see you there in 2017. And if you'd like to do something to help the Sideshow, head straight to iTunes or your podcast provider. Leave a rate and review. Thank you so much. Take care. Have a great weekend. The great outdoors. We'll see you tonight at the Partey for Perennial. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.